Opinionated Marketers,
a podcast from Cambridge Marketing College.
Hello and welcome to Opinionated Marketers. I'm Charles Nixon and with me is Kieran Kapoor of the Cambridge Marketing College. Kieran, I think at the end of the last session we were talking about going to express some ideas or concerns about companies having opinions in politics and other areas.
Yes, it was kicked off by a number of things. There's been a series of articles about companies jumping on various, I hesitate to use the word bandwagon, but Halifax came out with pronouns matter. And if you basically, if you don't like the fact that we use the pronouns and we say whether people want to be he, him, she, her, etc., then you can close your account and go somewhere else, which generated a nice little Twitter storm for them. I haven't seen any major, I haven't seen any sales figures, so I don't know if it actually had an effect on anything. You've got companies, you've got a very fluid political situation going on in the UK at the moment. Should companies get involved? Should they not? There's been a there's been some fairly interesting discussions about companies funding political parties. So you wonder where that's going. And if you are openly funding a political party, that's probably OK. So it was a general thought about what should companies, what should marketers actually be doing in this space? Is it a good idea to sort of wade into the politics, or are you actually better off going, our business is business, and keeping out of this? And is that actually something that consumers want us to do? Do consumers want companies to take a stance now?
I think the answer is all of the above. It's a complicated and issue which goes round in circles. Politics and religion used to be the two topics that you avoided at the dinner table if you wanted to have a nice sociable evening, because people therefore used to get a bit hot under the collar. These days it would appear that people get hot under the collar for all sorts of reasons, and this is one of the biggest problems, especially in America at the moment, where companies, Disney is an example, and Coca-Cola have expressed opinions on various social issues, only to find themselves in a bit of a storm as people who disagree with them have taken to various means of protest. It can be social media, it can be physical. And it does open up a bit of a dilemma. You're absolutely right, I think, in one respect, that ideally speaking, companies shouldn't express an opinion and should just get on with doing what it is that they're actually meant to be doing, whether or not they're paid to do it by their customers or their shareholders want them to do it. So in one respect, the business of business should be business, but within the legal requirements. So if there are diversity laws, if there are gender laws, if there are ESG laws, they should obey them. Should they, on the other hand, campaign overtly for any particular topic? The problem that this tends to bring, and it was a very interesting article in yesterday's Financial Times, was that whichever side you take, there will be people who take the opposite side. And this can lead to rather dysfunctional activity within the organisation, in meetings and across divisions. So what we find is that you know, you raise a subject only to find the subject won't go away. So in one respect, perhaps it is best not to raise the subject and to stick to what the company is about and leave politics to others. However, in one respect, that's rather naive, because most people have opinions and they want their opinions to be heard sometimes. However, interestingly, as the article said, you don't want the opposition's opinions to be heard, so we end up with this nasty debate. There is, of course, the other aspect from a marketer's perspective, that it does presuppose that politicians know all the answers. And, of course, they obviously don't. So in most instances, governments will put out consultations on all sorts of areas, whether it happens to be environmental legislation, whether it happens to be social policy, whether it happens to be taxation. And corporations, in one respect, could be said to be duty-bound to respond to these if it affects the business that they run, or they need to provide technical information to governments who don't understand the subject. My very first jobs was in government relations, which was advising politicians and civil servants on the impact of any policy on the textile industry. And it becomes an important aspect of the way in which the country is run, that it should be run by people who have the full facts. So we are in a bit of a dilemma here. So the answer is yes and no.
I agree with you. I actually think it is the role of a responsible company to get involved with advice, technical advice that government needs, and that can be via belonging to an association, or it can be actually responding to surveys or requests, and that can be from local government and as well as national government. And actually, I agree with you wholeheartedly that that is the job of a responsible company. Now, fair enough for companies to turn around and say, we have got other things to do, we're trying to run a business here in a recession, completely get that. But if you possibly can, I think that is a sign of a responsible company. However, from a marketing perspective, quite hard to make capital out of that. You know, I spend quite a lot of my time involved in that side of things. It's not necessarily something I'm going to stick on social media. Or responded to 3 government surveys this week doesn't really sound like it's going to cut the mustard very much. So there is a corporate element and a general social responsibility element, but I don't think that's going to capture any sort of great marketing messages.
I would agree. The one aspect I think that we have to sort of think about is, are we always trying to make political with a small p or a corporate capital out of everything that we do? Should we not just get on with doing things? We were talking earlier about various companies who are now suddenly saying that they're going to support women's football, who have never said anything on the subject in the past. Mm-hmm. And so jumping on the bandwagon at this particular point, is that good or bad? Perhaps it's good to do it, but you don't have to make capital out of it each time. And I think the element where you have, especially in other countries, especially in America, where you have organisations which fund political parties, as we do in this country, as opposed to providing information to government, I think that's where we get into the slightly dangerous area of companies going to find themselves being criticised and bring themselves into critical view by overtly making political capital out of politics.
It's also an interesting argument about whether customers actually want us to do this. So we were talking last time when we were talking about the environmental side, and we were saying, actually, it's possibly not top of customers' agendas just at the moment, because they've got other things to worry about and other things they're trying to deal with. There are companies, the Body Shop pioneered some of this, where they would, and there are plenty of others, where they are out there, they are being seen as being active and wanting to be active. It's how they attract customers, it's how they attract staff, it's part of their mission statement, mission and vision. And we've talked before about the dangers of doing that, that you can have a sort of tall poppy syndrome, you set yourself up as being a very ethical company and immediately you're shot down, possibly more than companies that don't claim to be ethical. I've always found that quite an interesting dichotomy. But we are told constantly, it comes out quite a lot within social media and the marketing press, that actually customers, particularly young customers, want to see companies take a stand. And I do challenge the orthodoxy of that, of whether that's actually true or whether that's just a sort of comforting thing that we would like to believe.
I would again come back to look at the source and look at who writes these sorts of things and what their agenda is. I've got in front of me a poll, interestingly enough, in today's Financial Times. I do read other newspapers, but this one I do read most of the time, which is done by First Public on the 18th of July, and says that of all the issues that are concerning voters that they were talking to, net zero is in most instances below 40% of their interest. Things that are more interesting to them at the moment or concerning them is levelling up, Britain leaving the EU, restrictions on protesting, and a couple of other items before you get to this issue of net zero. And I think that companies need to take a longer term approach to these sorts of issues rather than just reacting to the latest media hype on a particular subject. And so I would concur that there are issues where we would find that you're responding as a company, or you feel that you have to respond to it because you're being pressurized by the media for a response, where in reality you'd be better off just actually ignoring it and getting on with what you think is the right thing to do. Whether or not your right thing to do is not what everybody else thinks is something you have to argue if you ever get to that point.
I think, yes, I do. I do think that. And actually, sitting here as our company has committed to being carbon neutral by 2024, and very proudly able to do that. That's not necessarily something I'm going to make a huge amount of capital. I know I just announced it on the radio, but it's not something I'm planning to make a huge amount of capital about. It just feels the right thing to do. And ultimately, business owners, business managers have to get up and look at themselves in the mirror in the morning. And if doing something like that helps you feel better about what you're doing, I think actually that's quite important.
Yes. So, I mean, coming back to the corporate side of things, it's the corporate persona that needs to feel doing the right thing. And if people then find out that you're doing the right thing, that's fine. Many of the UK companies in the high street have been doing what would now be concerned as environmental and social governance issues for decades, but never made a fuss about it. And in some instances, are perhaps being criticised for not making more of a thing about it. But it isn't necessarily the requirement of the organisation to make publicity out of what it does if it's doing the right thing. That should be for what is good for its own value. And it sounds rather antithetical to say something from a marketing's perspective that you don't make marketing capital out of something, but there is a long game to be played here, a reputation game rather than just a quick win, which can often be something that will hoist you by your own petard if you're not careful.
Yes, I think I suspect people listening are probably sort of slightly shouting at us going, come on, you're supposed to be marketers. Surely you should be making marketing capital. But I think the point that we are both making is that sometimes it's right to do something and not necessarily feel you have to shout about it. And the two things may not be the same. You may choose to do marketing. You may choose to make a course of action. The two don't have to intertwine.
Well, I think that's quite a good point at which to stop. We've had a good discussion about the issues, and I think next week we'll return to some of the more practical aspects and perhaps some of the ideas about policy. So we look forward to continuing this discussion next time. Thank you for listening.
Like and subscribe to this feed for more podcast content
from Cambridge Marketing College.